Okay, I'm going to spend the next little bit of time. Good to see you, Andy. Spend the next little bit of time just schmoozing out a little about tefillah, as an introduction to tefillah. I'd like to take a little bit of time schmoozing about tefillah in general, and really focusing on one tefillah today, and hopefully over the course of the next few weeks, twice a week, hopefully analyzing and addressing different parts of davening. But I'll start with this point: is that davening will always have ups and downs to it. Whether you're a very good davener or a really bad davener, you're always going to have times when you're doing a better job than other times. And many of those things are controllable, and some of them are not. I mean, you can do everything in your power to daven well and still have a bad davening. But there are some things that are controllable. As an example, rushing into davening usually is going to be a bad davening. If you're running into a davening, that's going to end up not being a very exciting davening, like anything in life. If you don't prepare for it properly, you're not going to be excited about it. You can have a hard time with it. If you jump into a ball game and you haven't stretched or had any warm-ups, you're going to be off probably for the first number of plays. And by the time you get benched by the coach, you're not getting back in anyways afterwards. So that's like davening. By the time you get into your zone, you know, davening is over. So and there's some things that are more controllable than others. Again, how much sleep you get. If you're going for chakras and you get 3 hours of sleep and you jump into chakras, it's going to be very hard for you to have enough. You might get 8 hours and still not have a great davening. But the point is that you can control certain parts of your davening and others less so. Our goal is to figure out what works for us. This is overall in general, what works for us, and to give yourself the best chance of success. For example, the Gemara in Brachos brings down the Mishnah in Brachos. The Hasidim Rishonim would spend an hour before davening, an hour after davening. I'm not expecting anyone to be going through such levels and intense experiences, but the idea that you can take time out and sit on it before you start, certainly we imagine would help a large amount in your davening. So each person has to really figure out with his own structure, his own system, what things he knows do not work for him, what things do work. And given all that information, he'll still have to expect the ups and downs that come along with davening. But one thing I will say is the time to work on it is not during davening. That's not when you work on davening. When you work on, you know, it's like the famous Allen Iverson rant, you know, practice, you know, like that is exactly the point, is that the way you work on davening is practice. It's not in the davening time. It's not in the game time. It's during the practice time. And that's how davening will be improved, dafka through practice. And there are two pictures that I would paint for you as to how to work on those things. One is a very basic, you know, the ABCs, which is to know what the words mean. And for many of us, you know, that's the first challenge we're going to get to. And I'm embarrassed to say, if you show me a sitter, what I say every single day for the last, I mean, right now I'm 44 years old. So if I've been davening decently for the last, 25 years, there'll be things I don't know what I'm saying. There's some words I don't even understand still, but I just say them. Because I haven't gotten through the stage where I'm looking at every single word of davening and analyzing it. So one thing we should do is we should have a way to know what the words mean at the most basic level. The second thing we should work on is the bigger picture, what the words mean in a larger picture, in a bigger picture. That's something very important that I think we often feel like, I know what the words mean, and I don't feel connected to it, and we kind of stop right there. But many times there's a bigger picture that we, if we really give a moment in time to glance at, we might have a different appreciation, not what the word means, but what the word means in a much deeper fashion. So again, to quickly just recap what we just said when we start our first piece today, is ups and downs are going to happen. You have to know what gives brings the downs and avoid those things, what things oftentimes lead to the ups and how to embrace those things, and to know the time to work on these things is not while you're davening, it's to do it before and between davening times, both the individual meaning of the words as well as the bigger picture. I'm going to start with the first thing we say every single morning, which is Moda Ani. We say Moda Ani every single morning, the first thing that we say. I want to read the words with you in English, so I'm sure you probably know them already. Hopefully you say them already. And I want to get to hopefully a little bit today, going using a few svarim, mostly today, at least from Shimshon Pinkus, Nefesh Shimshon on Sidur HaTfilah, that he has a beautiful piece and discussions about Moda Ani, as well as many other tefillahs. We're going to be cycling different mefarshim. But the tefillah of Moda Ani Lefanecha, Melech Chai V'Kayam, again, I'll read to you just the article in English that I have in front of me, as far as the words mean. I gratefully thank you, Moda Ani Lefanecha, Melech Chai V'Kayam, O living and eternal King, Shechazarta Bi Nishmasi B'Chemla, and I'll tell you to read it. the word Nechemla is part of that part of the tefillah, that you've returned my soul within me with compassion. And then finally, Rab Emunasecha, abundant is your faithfulness. And this is how you say, the first word you say every single morning is supposed to be that. If your alarm's going off, you shut your alarm off. If you're, especially when you're a roommate and you're married, you want to jump out of bed and shut your alarm right away so it doesn't bother somebody else. Then you recite this passage, which means that this is supposed to be how you begin your day, and it's supposed to end eventually at Aleinu. Not only for Shachar, but even for Maariv at the end of the day, Aleinu is how you end off. And the idea is that Moda Ani is supposed to be with you the entire day until you get to an Aleinu. The Mesil Shem actually brings down, and he says that the first thing that you do until the last thing you're supposed to end off with, that first thing is supposed to lead to the last one. So for example, the Mesil Shem starts off with Chovas Adam Ba'olamo. What is a person's obligation in the world? That's what the Mesil Shem starts off with. And it ends off after going through the whole cycle of Pinchas Ben Yair. The Gemara quotes this cycle and this path. It ends off with Kedusha. So the moment, the way the Pinchas understands it, is the moment that you realize or that you analyze what is your chova ba'olam, what's a man's obligation in the world, eventually, if you play it out well enough, you hit Kedusha. If you perform and think about properly what Moda Ani is going to mean, by the end of the day, you'll be at the state of Aleinu L'Shabech, Ladon Hakol. You're going to be at that state having gone through the day. If you think about the message of Moda Ani Fanecha, you end your day off Aleinu L'Shabech, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he puts in the world. That's really the goal of every beginning till every end, is that the beginning should lead to the conclusion, which is what you have at the very end. So our job, hopefully today, is going to be to start analyzing what exactly Moda Ani actually mean. So first of all, it means the following thing. We are supposed to start our day thinking about, what am I doing here? Again, using the Mesil Sharm's imagery, what is the chova of the Adam Ba'olam? What is the job of man in the world? What am I doing here? And if I can figure that out, then I should never forget that. My job is to never lose sight of that the entire day. Now, again, we know our day will have moments where we're more focused on it and less focused on it. But the Sefer I'm learning with Ethan Rutta called the Vav Mishkan Evna. And there he also explains something very similar. You're supposed to have little notes in your pocket, like the words, Kirvas Elokim Litov, right? Closest to God to me would be great. And it's in your pocket. And you pull it out of your pocket every once in a while and you read it. And you look at it and you read it and you remind yourself, okay, that's what I'm supposed to have in my mind. Then you go about your day. Or you have a buzzer on your phone, an alarm on your phone. It pops up, it lights up every 15 minutes and it gives you a message. The goal we have in life in general is whatever the message we're supposed to be taking with us, it's constantly in our mind. It's cycling around us regularly, so we don't go the day without having that peace and that understanding of it in my mind and in my heart. You're allowed to make mistakes in life. You're allowed to make mistakes. You're allowed to kind of like err here and there, but you should never lose sight of what you came here for. Like the muscle that Rav Pinchas brings down is, he brings down an example. If I'm driving to Bnei Brak, I'm playing a bit, and I end up in somewhere completely different. I end up in Tzfat. They say to me, how'd you get here to Tzfat? I'm supposed to go to Bnei Brak. And you say, oh, I was headed to Bnei Brak and I made a wrong turn. I thought it'd be shorter. Next thing I know, I'm already in Tzfat. Okay, that's understandable. And that's appreciated. You had a game plan. You made a mistake. You made a bad call and you ended up in the wrong place. What's not okay, they say, well, how'd you know it's fine? Like, I don't know, I just started driving and I ended up here. That's not a mistake. That's just like a loss of consciousness, the loss of focus. That part is not acceptable. So our job is to figure out what is our goal, knowing we're going to make mistakes in the process, but not to forget what we're supposed to be doing here in the first place. If you look at Moda Ani, as I read it beforehand, there is no mention of Shem Hashem at all. And that's why Chazal tell us, Mr. Brewer Paskins, you're allowed to do it before until some time in the morning. First thing you should be really to wash your hands so you can say Shem Hashem. But Dafka Chazal made this tefillah that doesn't have Shem Hashem inside of it. It's not part of it. So you can do the first thing of your day is to recite the Moda Ani. And therefore, the reason is that there's something about this tefillah that's supposed to be the first thing you experience every single moment is this, is the Moda Ani every single day is how you start your day off. So what does the word Moda mean? We said before, it means... I said the word thank, I think. Is that the word we use? We look at it one more time. It's an arts for translation. Thank. Gratefully, thank you. So I want to take a little different twist on what Moda actually means as far as we're concerned. And why we start with the word Moda, the first word out of the word Moda. Picture the first moment you wake up in the morning, right? You your alarm goes off. Hopefully, your alarm goes off. So you're waking up in the morning and you think to yourself like, oh, how did I sleep? How do I feel? There's a lot of I's, a lot of things about yourself. You're the focus of your first part of your moments of existence in the morning. Ourselves. We think about ourselves right away. That's not the way a Jew should be thinking. It's not about us. We're not the major topic of the world. It shouldn't be about us. That's a natural man way to think. So Chazal say the first thing you should do is get that out of your mind. It shouldn't be ani, it should be moda. First thing I think is the word moda. I want to give that first moment of my day back to Hashem. Again, my first thought might be about me. My first utterance, my first word of speech is not going to be about me. It's going to be about Hashem. Moda. And that's very important to do. If, once we're the focus, then an Eved is never focused on himself. It's focused on the Rav, on the Adon, on the Master. So since we're Avde Hashem, we have to make sure that we give our first focus to Hashem. And that attitude takes us in many places in life in general. For example, if I learn Torah because I like to learn Torah, so then I imagine, again, many of us who are, over the course of the last few weeks, were stuck on a computer screen listening to Torah, those Torah learning sessions might be less interesting to some of us than it was in person. And if it's about ani, if I'm the first thing I think about, then I'm going to be like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not interested in that anymore. And I'm going to stop doing it. And therefore, the moment I say moda, that I'm not about me, it's about you, God. I'm your Eved. You are my God. You know, you're my master. Then I'm able to get through moments in time, even when I'm not excited about them. Even when I don't feel so connected to it. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because I'm supposed to do it. La'avdil, an example might be when a person has a family and they have children and they have a newborn child and the child wakes up at 2 a.m. and the baby is going to cry. Now, if it's about you, you'll be like, I am not getting that baby. I am tired. I went to sleep 1.5 hours ago. No, thank you. But it's not about you. You're not thinking about you. You're thinking about being a father, being a parent. And as a parent, you have a job. Your job is to get the crying child. Similarly, if I'm not about me, it's about being an Eved of Hashem, then my job is to be a good Eved, to be a proper servant. And how do I do that? By not thinking about myself first. And therefore, that will allow me when I'm thinking about trying to learn, I'm not focused on it, I'm not excited about it, that will help me get past that problem by making it out of me. So the first word we say every single day is not me, it's moda. However, that's a dangerous attitude. It's dangerous to not be about yourself. Because if it's not about you, if you're not the key, you know, the focus also, then we lose ourselves. We lose our drive. We lose our ambition. There are many people who are very turned off by seeing around them what they consider no individual opportunity, right? How I'm supposed to daven, how I'm supposed to get dressed every single day. Where's my individualism? Where do I express myself? And that's very hard for some people. And therefore, the next word we say is the word ani. I matter also, meaning moda to Hashem first, but I cannot put myself too far down this list. Because the moment that I do, I start to lose excitement in myself. I start to feel like I'm not so important anymore. And that's a very, very dangerous thing to have. I mentioned before, notes in your pocket. There's, I forget which rabbi it was, but he said, you should have two notes in your pocket. Anochi afar ve'efer, and bishvili nivra olam. Right? The world was created for me. I'm nothing. Well, those are two very different expressions. And they're both important to have at the right time. So the first thing you think about in the day, anochi afar ve'efer, moda. And then the next thing you think is, bishvili nivra olam, ani. That attitude, that hierarchy with moda first, but ani, right behind that, will allow you to focus your attention on HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, but not think of yourself as being insignificant. That's the first two parts of our, first two words we utter with such depth. Moda Hashem, to you. Ani, I'm number two, though. I've got to think of myself also. I do matter in this world as well. Lefanecha. Lefanecha means in front of you, which is a very important idea. The concept of, you know, of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sami, which is in the very first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that I always see Hashem in front of me. If I say the word lifanecha, in front of you, what am I saying? I'm saying I'm seeing you, Hashem, in front of me. And you say the word you. You don't say lifanav, third person. Rosh Hashiva, like some drink of water. You're saying to Hashem, you. You, in front of you. The word you, you don't say to your Rebbe, even though to me, of course, you can. Rosh Hashiva, maybe you shouldn't. But lifanecha, no kodesh baruch hu. We say baruch atah, Hashem. You call Hashem atah, you. So the answer is, if I saw Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of me all the time, lifanecha, that approach, that attitude would allow me to have a very close connection and feel that I have a relationship with Hashem. It's not a foreign master that I don't recognize. It's someone who is, it's a being that I see in front of me at all times. So moda ani lifanecha. And then melechai. One of the biggest challenges we have in the world is that God to us, since we can't see him, is this amorphous being that we can't really relate to so well. This is actually Gemara Brachos, Dal Chelka Etzem Beis, Yochanan ben Zakkai was dying. And a student said to him, Rebbe, you know, give us a bracha before you pass on from the world. And he said, my bracha to you is that you should be as afraid of Hashem as you are of Basar V'dam. They said, that's it. Like, I shouldn't feel more afraid of God than Basar V'dam. And he says, halavai, if only you were as afraid of Hashem as you are of Basar V'dam. And he brought down, when a person does something wrong, they look around them and say, anyone watch me right now? Halavai, we don't see Hashem in front of us like that. Our lefanecha, we're a little bit, we don't see Hashem. Shvi Hashem the Negdi Sami, we don't see him in front of us so clearly. So we say next, you're a melech who's chai. You're in charge, and you are, and you're around, and you're living. And if you have that approach again, you may need to have a small version of your you know your favorite local Orthodox rabbi on your shoulder to be that image that helps you out. Like Yaakov had, that Yosef had Yaakov. Yosef had Yaakov in the time when he needed him most, in the moments of being with the Eishes Potiphar, and he saw Yaakov in his vision. So that was his chai. That was what the chius that he created to remind himself of how he's supposed to be acting in front of a melech. So yeah, one of the fanecha, melech chai, and v'kayam. Chayam means that God is always around. There's never a moment in time. He does not sleep. There's no slumber for God. There's not a moment in time when he's not available and around. The moment that God would not be there, if you'd ever be unplugged, the world would not exist anymore. He's a melech who's chai, v'kayam. Shechazarda bi nishmasi. Now, the word "be" is a very important word. "Be" doesn't mean shechazarta li. You don't say that you return li to me, my neshama. You say that you return inside of me, my neshama. Because no one is claiming that neshama is yours. It's not yours. Neshama is not yours. You know, it's not like money that you've earned. My father-in-law, whenever he gives someone, let's say, a donation, and they say thank you so much, he goes to me, don't thank me. He's like kol pikadon. Everything is I'm holding it. I'm holding it till it gets to the rightful owner. Hashem, our neshama is not ours. You know, I didn't do anything to deserve it. You gave it to me. You put it in me. You put it in me, and I'm it's like a pigalim right now. I'm watching over it for the time being. And but the important part I would say besides that is shechazarta nishmati, that you gave me my neshama, meaning you gave me my life back. The kli of life, the vessel of life that we have in the world, has no limits to it. I mean, it goes ad l'shamayim. For example, you have a life. Moshe Rabbeinu had a life. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu, with the kli called life, he became Moshe Rabbeinu with life. Avraham Avinu became Avraham Avinu because he had life. Same thing with Yitzchak and with Yaakov. The kli, the vessel that you have that is called your life, gives you the opportunity to be great. That is, it's a kli. It's a utensil that allows a person to become the person he's supposed to be at the end of the day. And therefore, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you gave me my neshama, which you gave me life, which is a kli that I can now use to become what I'm supposed to become at the end of the day. And then with the last two parts of here, Bechemla. Bechemla means, again, with as part of the prior part, you gave me back my life, Bechemla, with great compassion. This is a very important idea over here. Now, what does it mean with great compassion? So usually when you borrow something from a friend, you borrow, a car from a friend. So when you give him the car, he gives you a car and you use it. And it's got miles on it. Remember, there's a movie when I was younger called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't know if you guys ever saw it at all. But, you know, when you drive someone's car, the miles run up. And if you put it in reverse afterwards, it doesn't bring the miles down, as he found it the hard way. Right? It doesn't work that way. So usually when you put mileage on something, when you get it back later, it's worn. It's more, you know, it's wear and tear. It's worn out. You give your neshama to Hashem every single night. And he brings it back to you revived and refreshed. You could have, I don't mean only not tired. Imagine you had a terrible day. Things just did not go well for you. And you go to sleep. Wake up the next morning, and you just feel like, okay, I got a second chance at this right now. A second bite of the apple. I'm going to be able to hopefully improve myself. The tremendous chemla, the tremendous compassion Hashem has, he gives it to you better than when you gave it to him in the first place. You gave it back to him exhausted and spent. I'm not only talking about even being tired or not tired. I'm talking about the approach and the attitude that you have towards it. Is that he gives it back to you with a lot of those fears out the window. Someone's upset about something, sleep on it. Why sleep on it? Because Hashem is going to give it back to you b'chemla, with great mercy and great compassion. But before I get back to the last two lines, Rabbi Munasecha, I want to share with you one last part. What's the compassion Hashem gives us by a life back? Because if you think about it for a second, you know, what have you earned to get a life? Was it magialecha? Did you do anything at all to earn your life? Have you done something in your lifetime to earn having been given a gift of life? You've done nothing at all. As a matter of fact, even the moment of, no matter what you did, if you would be the perfect individual, you still wouldn't deserve life because God gave you that first breath for free. You haven't done anything yet. Maybe you've made it worthwhile, but you can't say you earned it. You didn't do anything to earn life in the first place. Maybe, again, it was a good thing you were created. But Rav Pinkus brings out that even your health, that you walk around healthy, hopefully we do, is the biggest chiddush in the world. The fact that we're given a life and that we walk around functioning properly is a tremendous chiddush. And so much so that that Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael after Kriyas Yam Suf, he says, if you behave well, he says, "Kol machla asher shatim Mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha." All the disease that I gave in front of you up until now, to Mitzrayim up until now, I will not place upon you. You know why? Because I am Hashem rofecha. I am Hashem, your healer. Now, if you take a step back for a second, it shouldn't say, "I'm Hashem, your healer." You're not called healed if you weren't sick in the first place. You go to a doctor and he says, "Great, clean bill of health." You're not like, "Oh my gosh, like you saved my life." He didn't save your life. He told you you're fine. Why would we call Hashem a rofecha when he says, "I won't put disease upon you"? That doesn't make him a rofecha. That makes him a shomrecha. He's your guardian, maybe. He's not your rofecha. He's not your healer. So I want to suggest to you, not exactly the same point over here. The fact that every single day of your life, whenever you feel healthy, that's because Hashem is healing you. The odds that a person's body functions the way that it does so carefully and clear. I was learning with my girls the other day some biology. You know, I haven't learned biology since I was in ninth grade, but they were studying for a test. So I was learning biology with them. The way that the heart works, the body works, is unbelievable. The fact that it works as efficiently as it does and as often as it does, it's because Hashem is rofecha. It's not because he's shomrecha. You should have disease all the time in your life, in your body. It's a miracle that we're walking around the way that we do. So bechemla, with great compassion, Hashem lets us function the way that we do. And the last two words, and then we'll get back to a quick sum up, and then we'll end, is Rabba Munasecha, which many mistranslate to be, you know, "Great is our faith in you." It's not really what it means. It means "Great is your faith in us." Meaning you gave me another day. No matter what I did yesterday, you just gave me another one. You gave me another day. You must have great faith that something about me today is worthwhile, that you gave me another day just now. Now, I may have had a great day yesterday. Doesn't mean I'm having a great day tomorrow. I may have had a terrible day yesterday. Doesn't mean I have a terrible day tomorrow. But all it means when I get the next day is that you believe in me. So even if there are times when I doubt myself and I question whether I'm worth it or not, how can I argue with Hashem? He's deciding that I'm worth it. Rabba Emunasecha, you have great, abundant confidence in me. Now let's take a step back and just run through the whole piece quickly, right? Mo de'an lefanecha, the first word is about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not about me, but I'm also important. Ani lefanecha, I see you in front of me all the time. And you're a melech who's in charge of me, but who's alive. I can see you like I see my friend. I can see you also in front of me. And a halavai that you have a fear of Hashem like you do of Basar Adam. And you're chai v'kayam, you're constantly here. There's never a moment in time when you're not here. And you gave me back bead. You didn't give it. It's not mine. It's on loan. You gave me back on Hashem, which is the quality that makes a person great. Life, the kli of life. Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, they became who they are because they had life. I also have life. And you gave me the chemla. You gave me better than I gave it back in the first place. And I did nothing to deserve it at all. And the fact that I'm even healthy, Ani Hashem Rofecha, that's a miracle itself that I'm even healthy in the first place. If I have all that in mind, then I realize, Rabbi Munasecha, you have great faith in me. And you gave me an extra day. And I go off my bed after thinking about that in that tefillah of Bodani, and I go to wash my hands. I make the first time I say Shem Hashem that day, and I have that attitude and perspective from this moment until I go to sleep at nighttime, and I say, Aleinu l'shabeach l'Adon HaKol, after an entire day. If I have that, then I can give proper praise to Adon HaKol. I'm worthy of giving praise to Hashem because I recognize my place here, my role here, and I spent my day with this mindset of Modani in my back pocket. Bishulini v'ra olam, anokhi afar v'efer. Kibbutz Elohim l'tov, I want to be close to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's my attitude as I go through the day. Then I can end off in Aleinu. That's the Mesil Sharm. I start off, what's my role in the world? And I end off in a state of Kedusha. Our job in Modani, without washing our hands yet, is to begin our day with that perspective, that attitude, and hopefully that will allow the rest of our tefillah, I mentioned before, and to put yourself in a good situation and position to have a successful davening. That first Modani said carefully, not running out to shul because you're late, but carefully and with confidence and thoughtful. Before you wash your hands and get dressed and you give yourself that time as well, will hopefully set your tefillah on a good pattern and a good path to make the next part of your tefillah that much better, which we'll speak about with Neder, hopefully on Sunday. Hope to see you all there as well. Have a great rest of your day. Shkoyach, boys.
Shkoyach.